All right, let's roar into December here, gang. Real Kipper and Bourne show, Leaf edition, live on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet Plus. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeau, and Jake the Snake Schultz. Ready to kick off the week on this Monday. Another game night on Monday for the Toronto Maple Leafs as they just put the Tampa Bay Lightning away Saturday night, JB.
11 Leafs games in the next 21 days, Kip. So more than every other night, Sammy's got Leafs talks with some frequency coming
and
up.
And we've got, I think, a few games
coming up
in December.
Really?
We are.
Wow.
I kind of like the schedule.
I do too.
You know?
What do you mean?
We got to work. We still got a lot of regional games to go, but it's been quiet in October and November.
Yeah.
Just going home and having dinner and opening up a nice vino is
Chianti.
It's kind
of
nice.
They save Kip and I for like the meat of the order. Like we're batting cleanup here, right in the middle of the season. We get to do a whole bunch of games, so I'm very excited about that.
What do you think about our decorations, boys?
Yeah,
credits
spent all night. Were you like Will Ferrell in Elf, where you spent the whole night in the department store to get it ready?
No, but I'm a little concerned about the stuff that's around my desk. I'm getting sparkles rained on my knees over here. My pants and shoes are never going to be the same.
Wife's going to think you're at a strip club?
Yeah. She's like, I thought you were going to work. Yeah.
It does look great, though. Credits to whoever decorated the set.
Love it.
It's very festive.
Love it.
All right. Which looked like a fairly comfortable lead. May have turned into something a little bit, hairy for Leaf fans. But at the end of the day, I think the Leafs got the win that they needed. And despite a push at the end of the game by Tampa, it was a game that the Leafs were fairly in control on the return of Auston Matthews.
Yeah, give him credit. Tampa Bay was on a back-to-back and kind of looked at times. But, you know, they got out to a 4-0 lead in Tampa Bay, and that's no small accomplishment. The puck went in for him. Sammy was chirping Vasilevsky online, saying the Leafs own Vassie.
Yeah. I've never seen Vasilevsky look smaller than Saturday night and the last.
What about the round one, 2023? What about that?
Yeah.
Then two.
Yeah. He's looking real human these days.
Well, I think the start of that playoff series with the Leafs and then into last year and then into parts of this year, it's kind of been the downward part for him. But I will say, since that happened, I've never had any fear of going up against him. He's a guy that the Leafs shoot holes in every game. So they own him. They do. They score 4 goals on him every game.
Not to take anything away from Nick Robertson's shot, because it was like a bullet.
Yeah.
But that type of goal, when Vasilevsky's on, just doesn't go in.
Yeah, he's like 6'6".
He's
just
too big.
Bonk him in the chest.
He's too big. Far hash marks that look like it's almost at the top of the circle. Those pucks just never found ways to go in and break Tampa's back.
Yeah. I will say Joseph Woll had a quote about Nick Robertson's shot. He says, one of the best shots he's ever seen.
Yeah.
And we've known that. This is not new information. So good for him for getting on the board and screaming, which I don't think he was celebrating the Leafs going up 3-0. That did not seem like a celebration for the team.
I can't blame him. I can't blame him for that. Right?
Been there breaking a 20-goal drought and going, that one was for me.
All right, let's start right there with head coach Craig Berube on Nick Robertson.
Well, hopefully give him confidence. We talked to him today about that, and just build off it. And I thought Nick had a good game. I thought he was working hard and he had some, chances tonight. And one went in for him, which was great. He's just got to keep at it. That's all. He's working hard. No problem with the work ethic. But, talked to him today about getting on the inside more and getting around the net and scoring some greasy goals. But it was great to see him get one for sure.
So not that goal.
Well, and also, is that the goal he's going to score? I don't even know if that's good advice for him in particular. But, I did hear Craig Berube just say, go do it again.
Yeah.
Not real thrilled about your one goal in 20-some games. Go do it again.
Yeah. So we mentioned Auston Matthews coming back, and there is a sense that they are getting healthier.
How do you think Matthews looked?
kind of the same before he disappeared for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's he's been off for 3 weeks. I expect him to be a lot more engaged at home against a weaker opponent like Chicago. This could be easily a game that he ends up with two or three goals and maybe just starts getting on a bit of a roll. But as far as how I saw him Saturday night, much like I did before he got hurt, where it's like he's not there.
Mm-hmm.
He's just not there.
Yeah.
A little hesitant, a little apprehensive. Afraid of contact a bit.
Like
in
the
some
very
spots.
First shift, I think he went to throw a hit that he braked three quarters of the way into. I just feel like it's almost like he's not stopping and starting. Like we, you know, kind of some loopier patterns to me. They played him 20 and a half minutes or something, which I don't know how I feel about that. I guess the game kind of dictated that towards the end where you start protecting a lead or whatever. But yeah, I thought, okay, he was okay.
But we've seen him when he's been really hot and going, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just like nowhere near that level where we've seen him at his very best, dominating, stealing pucks.
Stealing pucks and skating through the neutral zone. Really getting up to speed.
And guys crawling on his back trying to stop him.
Yeah.
Right? So
does not it, his best night ends up can, with two points.
It,
so
yeah.
Can it happen as early
yeah,
as
win, yeah.
can it happen as early as tonight or is this something he's gonna have to play himself into?
I think, you know, he talked about kind of he had half a practice and gave it a little extra time, and I think you get another practice and another game, and then you get, you know, another morning skate. And yeah, he definitely can. I don't think there's any reason why you shouldn't expect him to be better tonight. Think pretty reasonable.
Yeah, I thought, you know, what percentage would you say of himself was he at on Saturday? If you're going to put it 75?
Yeah.
That's why, you know, you look at who he's playing with, and Nye's clearly had just come back too, but you get other guys back when you get him back too. Like William Nylander was so much more engaged, flying around, playing with him. It's like you see how much better others feel around him.
It gives you another line where it's been Mitch and John.
Yeah.
You know, dragging this team through the injury muck.
Willie playing with Marlies.
Right. Yeah.
That's the other thing that stood out to me Saturday night is it felt like it was like less rhythm of what we've seen from one line, from the first line to the fourth line,
mm-hmm.
where without Austin, it's Tavares and Mitch and, you know, McMahon before he got hurt, and then Willie on a second line, and it was like more of a rotation feel where you just go through your lines.
Mm-hmm.
And Saturday night, it felt more broken down to when do I get Matthews back out there? And a few times there was offensive zone faceoffs. I think on one play, Tavares started a period, pulled him off like 19 seconds later for an offensive zone faceoff where he wanted to get Austin out there.
Yeah.
So it just felt a little bit more jagged to me in terms of Berube really figuring out what he wanted to do with those first two lines. How do you match them up? Who's?
I wonder if it's a combination of things there where it's like Nyes hadn't been in for a while either. So you have two guys finding their way back from injury. And Willie is maybe you're not your defensive stud the way that, you know, Marner and Tavares are. And you say this is just a better opportunity for them that sets everyone up in their best spots. But yeah, it is a different look when you have two first lines, essentially.
And you look at the ice times, it would reflect that, right? Like the top guys are all up around 20, and then everyone underneath there is like 10 and 11 and 8.
It's
and
actually
7.
Really funny you say that. Yeah. Amongst forwards, Holmberg played 17:21. And he was the sixth highest ice time. The seventh highest is Minton at 11:31.
Yeah.
So there's a 6-minute gap between your sixth and seventh forward.
Do you have them all? Do you have all the ice times broken down?
Yep.
So what did Nylander end up with power play ice time again?
Oh, I actually don't have the time on ice broken down.
Okay.
But Nylander was 20:35.
Yeah.
On the game, Matthews 20:23, Mitch 21:08.
I found it interesting. Craig Simpson on the telecast, who's a regular guest on our show, made a comment about Willie playing all the 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And on one instance, with about $130, $140, he didn't have, as Craig said, didn't have really the juice to go after maybe a loose puck or a play. And at that point, I'm I'm with Craig that, okay, enough of all of 2 minutes for Willie. I've seen
none
enough
of these guys. None of them are good enough power play players to play 2 minutes. It makes no sense for any of them to be out there for that long. You got more than enough good forwards, maybe a little thin right now.
If you're doing five forwards, though, on the top unit, you understand how much that neuters your second
unit.
That's
a good point. Yep.
You understand why you would leave one of them out there. But if I'm Berube, I'm going to rotate through who that is each power play. Like maybe Marner does it one time, Nylander does it one time, Matthews does it one time.
Yeah, but just that could to be a merit thing. Who's playing?
Yeah, for always just to be Willie. Like I agreed with Simmer on that. It was a good point where it's just like, you know, I don't know if this needs to be every power play.
And the one case too is like a guy like Ovechkin who typically does that has a very low output situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Parks and shoots. And he comes back to the blue line.
Or like skates into the center ice line a little bit and then back towards it.
Yeah, he's not twisting and turning.
No, he's not doing the breaking.
No, he's twisting and turning and doing this.
You want to go to Robertson moving up in the lineup?
No, that was from today. That was just he got asked if you'd ever consider him moving up there with the, you know, the spot where Holmberg
is. Our team's hurt and we didn't, so no.
Yeah, so somebody asked him about that. But, you know, there's been a lot of questions, and it's a good conversation to have, you know, the temperature from Leafs Nation on Pontus Holmberg continuing to play in the top six of this team, I would say is quite warm. And I would say the takes on it, like, what is it that keeps him there? Why does he play 6 minutes more than the next guy below him? Because, you know, Mitch Marner's bouncing pucks off his head. He doesn't even know where they're coming from. Like, he's just, it's like, what was that? Was that a pass? Yeah. What was that? It's just, what is it with him? Is it just the lanes, like you've mentioned? I don't. The defensive responsibility, is that it?
Who's left then?
That's right? I agree.
Who's left?
He's the necessary evil, but so Leafs Nation is pissed off about it.
I guess it's Robertson is the one that people are upset about.
It really just comes down to a bigger body.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And they'd rather go with the bigger body.
You know,
it's that simple between Nick Robertson and Holmberg.
Yeah, if you played 82 games with Holmberg, Tavares, Marner, or 82 games with Robertson, Tavares, Marner, I would not be surprised if the Holmberg group outperformed them, just in terms of how often you played at the right end of the ice and, you know, maybe he can at least create something in front of the net. Maybe Mitch gets a few more assists with Robertson, but.
And Holmberg right now, despite how Leaf Nation feel about him, can buy them time. Holmberg is buying them time for the eventual trade that they're going to make.
Trade?
Yeah.
You think, like, before deadline? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, 100%.
And looking for?
Center.
A center. Excuse me. Just coughing. Sure. Mike, it's great. People love that.
Yep.
That's absolutely an interesting thought.
Absolutely.
And do you have any thought on what type of center, what they're dropping around for?
Go big. Go big. Yeah. This is the year to go big. So it'll feel like, I think, another Ryan O'Reilly type of trade.
Hmm. And what do you think timeline are we looking at here? Like, what's the...
Still a cap issue. I know we're all excited that the cap's going up, but it's not going up in the next 3 months.
Damn.
So there's some juggling to do on that front. And you still got to see how things kind of open up, because we are past American Thanksgiving and teams are now figuring out who the pretenders and contenders are. So there'll be a separation now moving forward, but they're winning. They're gaining. They've put themselves in a great position to win the Atlantic as is. So there's no real race to go get a centerman today.
Is it Kadri?
I was just going to say, wait, now I'm back.
It's somebody.
Okay.
Yeah, it is somebody.
You think the Calgary Flames are going to do the thing where they trade to Toronto?
Because
wasn't that a big problem with Tanev?
It's very hard.
Not sure.
No matter how you feel about someone personally, to turn down an offer you can't refuse.
I also think, you know, Kadri maybe doesn't match up with their timeline. And so getting that money off the books,
the Flames
timeline, as he gets older and they get better, maybe it doesn't make as much sense for them to carry $7 million till 20.
You'd have to, there's still some juggling going on, but it wouldn't surprise me at all to see an influential centerman like that come in. that can, it depends on what you see between Matthews and Tavares. I think Tavares will still be in a position that he is now where he can find ways to produce.
Yeah.
Right? He's still going to find his area in front of the net, and he's going to find a way to bank one in like he did Saturday
Great
night.
Great goal on Saturday. No looker.
Typical goal by him in front of the net.
They're all spinning fire.
Right?
That was a nice one.
But it's that space of ice between like the slot
I love
and in front of the
net for them this year. I love that fit for them. It makes a ton of sense.
So you need someone big and heavy that can at times
competitive. He can kill penalties.
At times can match up with their second best centerman. Mm. And I'm not sure they want Tavares to do that in April and May. Mm. So if it isn't, you know, a Kadri, it's got to be a Nick Paul type of guy that can play against the other team's top second-line centerman if you go head-to-head with Matthews.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have to find him today or tomorrow. So
yeah, they're good enough to keep their head above water here for...
Holmberg.
That's underselling it for sure.
With Holmberg, Robertson, with McMahon when he's back, with all of these guys.
So don't take for granted, Leaf Nation, how good your good players are. When we said what we just said about Holmberg and Robertson, they are... by points percentage, the best team in the Atlantic right now, you know, with six injuries, with Holmberg in the top six.
Passengers out there.
Yeah, with some guys that, like, you could fix that tomorrow if you wanted to, you know? So it's just a real testament to how good their good players are.
And they will get healthy, so do you want to start with the injuries or the guys that may be coming back?
Well, we should...
Let's finish off on the game and Wall.
Yeah, probably do a minute on Wall here.
Okay.
What did you think of the Lightning getting back in the game? What did you chalk that up to?
Too little, too late. The game was decided.
Totally agree.
And not a real big worry for me.
Not the same level of urgency.
Look at the goals that went in that went off a skate. And
totally agree.
I'm not hanging that on Joseph Wall.
You're playing the scoreboard. Couple get banked in.
And an offensive penalty call on Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
You hated that one?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Like, I don't know if the ref's watching the game. Sorry to do this, but...
he's watching the game.
Like, they're standing there. These two guys are having a war in front of the net.
I think he missed maybe the very first cross check, and it was like a makeup for the one I missed. Maybe.
But so...
You don't watch the game very well?
Bingo. But was Gensel he was battling with in front of the net? Gave him a hard slash, lower the leg before. They're battling in front. He gives him a little shot, and then Cirelli gives... For him to pick Oliver Ekman-Larsson at that spot of the game, they've been fighting all night.
This is cross-checking.
I couldn't believe they called that. It was such...
It's like the definition of hockey, right? You're late game fighting for ice.
Hero call by the ref. He's like, I haven't made a call. I got to insert myself here. I just hate when they do that. Anyways, I agree with you on that.
But other than that, like, stellar.
Good game.
Stellar.
Yeah.
The breakaway, all of it. Key saves at the right time.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say what you will about Kucherov or Nick Paul. I mean, those are key guys for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a different feel with them in it. But overall, they did what they were supposed to do, and that's, at the very least, come out of the state of Florida with a split.
Yep, and Joseph Woll's last five games now, 5-0-0, 1.79 goals against and a .939 save percentage. He's humming, so he's found his game a little bit. Let's listen to Coach Craig Berube in clip four on Joseph Woll.
He was solid all game. Had to make some real good saves, you know, especially in the third. I thought he made some great saves, and their power play was that in the second period, I thought. Yeah, he made some good saves there too. So, you know, he was solid, very good.
Right. Just make good saves. That's Berube's coaching philosophy when it comes to goaltending.
Yeah.
Make good saves.
All right.
Very simple.
So, just to finish off the goaltending thing, just they're both going to play a ton here. There's no reason
Tons
to really. There's no real reason to.
Yeah. I totally agree.
Read into anything?
Too early.
Okay.
It's just too early.
All good.
The mere fact that they're both going at the same time means that it doesn't really matter.
Okay.
No, it's the difference between last season and this year. Right now, they're a .910 save percentage combined. Last year, this time, they're an .893, and there's the standing difference.
.893.
Yeah, they got no help.
Okay, let's focus on the latest injury update. No Jake McCabe tonight. He took a shot towards the back of the head ear area Saturday night. Only ended up with 11 plus minutes. Never returned. Sounds like it's not serious. He will miss tonight.
They're calling it precautionary.
You want to hear the update from the coach?
Yeah. Philip Myers will be in tonight. Let's get an update from Craig Berube.
Clip 5.
Drake is day to day, but I think he'll be fine. Just a little precautionary tonight. But he should be good. But he's not in tonight. And Hawk and Paw is on IR.
Hawk and Paw is on IR.
He's on ISLAND. He's on Robot Island. He's gone. And
Mark Masters.
No,
asked,
he's not gone.
He has to follow up, being like, is it a knee thing? He's like, yeah. Yeah.
Sure is.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, he's like, yeah. The old Steve Simmons bone on bone may have been right.
This was a roll of the dice right from the get-go.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on that decision? Here's the question mark. It's $1.4 million.
Yeah. I mentioned that to you guys upstairs. Yeah. I don't really get the $1.4 they had to give him.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how many teams were racing out there to sign him. If I'm jamming down everyone's throat the minimum contract of $850, mm-hmm. how does a guy with no knee get $1.4?
I don't
Good
know.
Agent?
Great agent. I would like more than that. On what basis? I would like more. All right.
Here it is.
So I don't believe that this is the last we'll ever hear of him again, but for him to legitimately be a guy that they can go to in April, he has to get in games.
Yeah, Kip, he got to play of a month. Like,
no.
He's got to play 35 games where he plays 3 weeks in a row and not hurt.
Yeah, if this guy's playing 15 games this year, I don't know how you can go to him in April.
I gotta tell you, when Simone Benoit plays well, I really like him.
Yeah.
Like when he's, and I
he was really good Saturday night.
Really good. He's skating again. He's finishing his checks, getting physical and competitive.
No one's going through along the wall past him.
And he loves that. He loves to smunch guys over there.
So he does.
Great. You know, like that's what Hawk and Paw is supposed to do. And we know Berube seems to really like Timmins, so off we go. Why don't we get a coach's thoughts on Myers going in? This is a kind of a different one. He's been with the team all year just practicing, so let's get a Philippe Myers clip 7.
I think just, he hasn't played for a while since the Boston game in Boston, but, you know, he's practiced well and he works extremely hard. So just keep it simple with him. Like, he's a big guy, he can move well, be physical, defend well. You know, he's playing with Morgan Riley, and, you know, Morgan can move the puck and just play your game. That's his game. It's simple. You know, you don't have to complicate it. He's got a good shot. Let's use it tonight. You know, we get opportunities in the offensive zone, he should be ripping pucks.
There you go.
Love that.
He's
Love that.
Had
ripping pucks.
Yeah.
Myers has had good success, you know, at different places in his career, and just
really
seems
great.
Like. Even before that, I think Nashville.
Yeah.
Where it was looking good there for a while, and then it kind of falls off, and then they quit on him.
Mm-hmm. Because Myers is not young, right? Is he? Is he 20?
I don't think he's young.
Seven or something?
He may be older than
that. We'll find that answer.
Yeah,
27. Yeah. Turns 28 in January.
Yeah. He's a big guy.
Yeah, that seems to be.
That was the mandate from Tree Living.
Big guy
summer.
Shoots right.
Get big, get long.
Yeah.
And shoot right.
That doesn't hurt either.
Certainly very helpful. What a really fun, bizarre Leaf stat, and this can be a useful or useless thing for you, Kip. NHL Edge tracks, you know, what's the fastest someone has skated on your team this year? What's the hardest someone has shot a puck? And then they rank it around the NHL. The Leafs may be last in their top shot speed. The hardest a Leaf has shot the puck this year is 93.7 miles per hour. Does that mean anything? That they don't have anyone that shoots it hard?
I think it matters.
Were they ranked in goal scoring?
Pretty high, I would think, right? Actually, maybe not.
Who's scoring goals for them?
You're right. Let's see here. Teams, goals for per game. They are currently 15th in the NHL.
Mid.
0.04.
Mid.
To say the least.
So that's what their shot
who's
is.
Who's with the hardest shot?
The team with the hardest shot?
No. Who... Does it say who on the Leafs had the hardest shot?
Yeah.
No.
Tanev, Saturday night.
Yeah, ready riffed one. How about our boy?
I got to say, that was awesome. Just to get for him to get, like, you know, you could have gone the whole year without him getting 1 point and the contract's worth it. But to have, you know, he's still fun to score a goal. He got a great shot on the tip that Nyes ended up getting to. So good offensive night for Tanev.
And he almost had another, like a couple shifts later. He went cheese.
Do you want to go to an OEL 10 of
Clipper? They're playing together tonight.
Let's do it. Clip eight.
Well, just with losing McCabe, kind of put two guys together that we can use as a shutdown pair. That's where we're thinking, you know, in terms of that. You know, he's got a great stick. Ekman Larson, great stick. Skates well, big, you know, plays physical. So that's what we're thinking there with the pair.
In about 10 minutes, we're going to welcome in Darren Pang, Blackhawks analyst. Does a terrific job also for TNT. Mm-hmm. And we'll get his thoughts on OEL and Tanev going up against Connor Bedard.
Mm-hmm. Looking forward to that. Update for you, the slap shot was William Nylander against Edmonton in November.
Wow.
We do have another injury update. We kind of been tracking the progress, everyone.
I just wanted to ask about Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
Okay.
Wouldn't say loved him on Saturday night.
Wouldn't say loved him in Florida.
Couple.
I didn't think he was good against Panthers.
Yeah, a couple of
that turnover
games.
Into the middle for the breakaway for was it Acemont that had the breakaway? I was like, oh boy, that was Travis Dermott-esque. It was.
No, you're right.
The only thing we've brought up a lot earlier in the year was how much do you want to go to him? He was a top third pair guy on a Stanley Cup team last year, and would the Leafs continually use him as a three or four and be over 20 minutes a night?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some of those early minutes in the first quarter of the season maybe caught up to him a little bit going into the last two games.
I think he's been handed a bit too much. The Leafs, like TOI, time on ice leaders, Oliver Ekman-Larsson is fourth on the team. He averages over 21 minutes a game for Toronto.
Yeah, that's too much for me.
That's a lot of hockey for OEL. Guy who's been...
Well, I mean,
and he plays hard.
Yeah.
He plays hard. He finishes. He's engaged constantly. So maybe just a little bit of a letdown in Florida.
He's playing almost 2 minutes more per game than Tanev, which...
And there's a clear drop from... Like, they have their top four guys who play all the time, and then they have sort of the Timmins pair and Benoit's been playing with him, but that's very clear that he's in that group. So that's probably why, like, they signed him, they paid him $3.5 million. I think that's what they thought they were going to get from him, right?
Yeah.
They were going to play him that much.
To your point, you know, while we're talking about gaps in ice time, the top four D are obviously McCabe, Riley, OEL, and Tanev. And then the drop between Tanev and number five at Timmins is 3 minutes per game.
Yeah. So he's in that group.
Yeah.
But anyways,
four guys.
Okay. We got a Craig Berube, Kipper's Clipper on Bedard going into tonight.
He's warming up.
Let's just see what Coach Berube has to say.
Elite shooter. Does a lot of little things with his shot. Push and pull stuff, and it gets through all the time. He's got an elite shot and really good vision. You know, like he's sees the ice very well and knows where people are and can make plays. He's going to be a good player. He is a good player, you know, and he's only going to get better.
I love the push and pull. Love that.
Yeah. He barely scored in November. He had one goal the whole month, and it was towards the end. But now he has, 4 points in his last three games, starting to play a little better.
He's struggled, but he's the type of guy that could show up tonight on a big stage.
Yeah.
Oh, Amazon Prime hockey. Big stage.
Played well in Edmonton. We're going to get Darren Pang's thought on it. But, kind of told you guys a long time ago, you got to be careful too much too soon. I think that's all that's happened to this kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I think...
But he's got no one to work with.
I know.
Oh, they stink.
He was born in the year 2005.
I totally get what you're saying, but... There has to be a greater picture here, too. I think there's times when he's turned the puck over, and usually a 19-year-old or 20-year-old that isn't labeled generational has to sit his ass on the bench and miss a few shifts or get called into the office and look at video. And not saying that that doesn't happen, but it has to come with a bit of a... happy with you feel.
It's different.
And it's different for him.
You have to live with more mistakes.
I think that's going on in that dressing room right now.
Frustrated with it?
Well, I think sometimes you can look around the room and say there's different rules for different guys, and then there's other times when you go, okay, enough's enough.
Mm-hmm. Like, I get different rules for different guys, but if you feel like it's getting out of hand, he's taking too much liberty with it, maybe that can be a thing. It's also, I think, hard. He is 19 years old. In second year in the league. The team's near the bottom of the league, so he's in his own zone a lot. I think it's A, hard to have success, and then B, hard to go in the dressing room when you're doing commercials for six brands, and they're like, you're the guy who's supposed to pull us out of this. And you're like, I'm still 19. It's like, well, you can't have it both ways.
I'm just a baby.
Yeah.
And I got a free car.
Yeah.
Na-na-na-na.
They're like, you're either supposed to be able to fix it or not do the commercials.
Okay, we'll take a quick break. We'll get into all of that and more with Darren Pang, Blackhawks analyst. They go tonight, 7:30, Scotiabank Arena. Back after these words.
Hey, it's Matt Marchese.
And I'm Mike Fiuta.
We're discussing the top stories of the day across the NHL and the hockey world, weekdays at noon.
It's the Fan Hockey Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. All right, let's get to him right away because this is a guy that carried me for a few years at Sportsnet here. Welcome in, Darren Pang, the voice now of the Chicago Blackhawks. Panger, how are you, pal?
I never carried you at all, Kipper. You carried me right to your right to the basement of your house where we drank wine and hit golf balls in the simulator.
That was a memorable night.
Yeah, that was fantastic. How you doing there, Borny? How's everything going for you?
Hi.
Yes, you're ready to go here.
It is Monday Night Hockey at Maple Leaf Gardens. Maple Leaf Gardens.
There you go.
It's not Saturday night, but it's still good.
You're following now as well as your national gig with TNT, you follow the Chicago Blackhawks extensively here. So let me just ask you, just before we get into specifics, including Connor Bedard, of course, just the overall feel of this season at 8-14-2. They haven't had a real sense of being a playoff team, and we'll exclude the pandemic and all of this for a very long time. So at 8-14-2, where is everybody in Chicago on? Are they where they need to be, or is this a very disappointing start to the season?
You know, I think it's disappointing in the fact that, Kipper, that the wins haven't been there, because if you look even closer to, you know, the actual numbers or the actual one-loss record, I mean, they've been in every game in the third period, I believe, 23 of 24 games right there. So what I'm saying is the games have been tighter than what you might think. They've given up 9 or 10 empty net goals. So that goes with your goals for, goals against, 5-on-5, and overall totals. They just haven't been on the winning side of that. They've only come back trailing going into the third period once. It was in LA. They trailed 3-0, Kipper. So, but I'll say that and kind of put that in the proper context, because I, you know, people see a record and they think, oh, they must be getting blown out. It's just not going very well. But they're trying to build the right culture. They're trying to build it with guys that have won before, like Alec Martinez and Pat Maroon. Craig Smith's played with a ton of really good teams and playoff caliber teams throughout his entire career. You know, TJ Brody's been there long enough that you guys know enough about TJ and his experience. So I guess where I'm getting to is, yeah, did they think they were going to be better in the numbers? Yeah. And do I think they should be? Yeah, I do. Actually, Kipper, I think the numbers should be better. This should be, at worst for me, the way they played, a 500 hockey team at worst. So, yeah, so I guess, you know, they've added older players. They added, you know, some guys that could help out young players like Connor Bedard and Lucas Reichel and Alex Vlasic. And, you know, we got young defensemen as well. And I know they were looking for better numbers or better results at this particular point, but they're building.
So, you know, they have been in a lot of close hockey games and just kind of looking for a little bit more offense at times. Natural question is to go to Bedard on this. He's, 19 points in 24 games. Seems like he's finding it the past few games. Where is Bedard at in his evolution to one of the league's finer players?
Yeah, and you know what, Justin, this is what I love about Connor is that, you know, he's taken this on the chin. He takes it personally. He doesn't go home and fluff it off and play video games. I mean, this kid just thinks, eats, breathes, dreams about being a winner. And so I know that he went through a rugged, 2 to 3 weeks where you guys probably saw some of his quotes where he was pretty open about what he wasn't doing well. Is he right now, I think his last three games, you'll see him tonight. He's making plays. His stick handling ability in traffic, is, I think, much improved from last year. I would have to say this, watching all these games, that if there's one area that he could improve on to make himself a faster player, and that is more of a give and go game. Mm-hmm. And I think he'll learn that, Justin, in time. Just when to move that puck through the neutral zone, play it to somebody ahead of him instead of carrying it all the way and then slowing everything down and waiting for a pass that's behind everybody instead of maybe going forward. So these are constant reminders that Luke Richardson and his teammates, the older guys like Nick Foligno, constantly, give to him to want to make him a better hockey player. So the little tricks of the trades are things that he's gonna learn along the way.
Panger, I want to just follow up Bedard with maybe just what he's feeling today and what he's felt for the past year and change here. Mm-hmm. I get the buildup of a generational player. We don't get to say it that often, but we certainly did it big time here in this country as he started his career in Chicago. He gets there. And this is not necessarily a reflection of Chicago, but just maybe us in general as a business or as a league business, to put so much weight on this player, to dig out an original six team out of the basement, be a face for them, be that next generation past McDavid. And is it caught up to him at all at this point?
You know what, Kipper? He's really good at taking on this responsibility. Mm-hmm. Pretty shocked by, as a young man, how he's been able to handle it. Is it fair? Hey, Kipper, I don't believe it's fair at all. But it's the way it is right now. We've seen videos of him since he was 12 or 13, playing up in Burnaby and playing in the Brick Tournament. And then he followed it up with, really great 3 years on a bad team in Regina. And then he sets records for the World Junior Canadian team. So why wouldn't we think, as you compare him to all the other greats? I'm just saying it's not fair because he's just a different player. He doesn't skate a million miles an hour like Connor McDavid. He's not big and strong like Austin Matthews. He's not, no one's Wayne Gretzky, so let's leave him alone. But he's a shooting, he's a guy that creates stuff through the rush and is a shooting machine. And so, I mean, those are the assets that he has and has brought to the table, Kipper. And we put him on a pedestal quite easy. He's in Chicago Magazine. You go to the grocery store, there's Connor right there. Is it his fault? Not whatsoever. They're selling tons of 98 sweaters. Every kid around the league, when you go through the warmups, all you see is, can I get a puck? Connor Bedard, I love you. Number 98, let's play rock, paper, scissors. I mean, it's constant. So for him to play, especially last year, as well as he played last year in his first year, and then in the sophomore year, people are going to go after him a little bit more, play him a lot harder, that it's going to be a little bit more difficult. But he carries it like the great players have carried it before, and does the interviews and does the work that everybody else has done before him at a young age. So, but again, is it fair? No, because I'll even go to one example, okay? The Four Nations is a very good example of this. There are so many great players in our game. You can only name, 13, 7, and 3 on that team?
Yep.
And yet every time I looked up in Canada, it was like, Connor was automatically there right away. And that might have put extra pressure on him as well, thinking, man, I'm on this team with all these, these guys are, they're the greats of the greats right now, and they're not even in their prime yet. And he's only in his half of his second year. So that kind of is a little unfair to both the coaches, the managers, and everybody else for people to expect that he's going to be on that team, which, we poured through the list. There's a lot of guys that deserve to be on that team.
Yeah.
And I think Connor would probably say, man, I'm not one of those guys right now at this particular point. Whether he makes it or not, I'm not sure. But I'm just saying that was one of those things that I looked at too that said, wow, that's an awful lot to just throw out there like it's an automatic when you have to earn the space on that team, in my opinion. And right now, I think there's other guys. So what I'm saying to everybody is it would it surprise me if he was on the team? Not really, but it wouldn't surprise me if he's not on that team either because of the way other guys have played.
For sure.
Deserve a spot.
For sure. So, looking at the arc of the Chicago Blackhawks rebuild, obviously there's got to be young players that are coming up that they're, kind of seeing as their future And then they're trying to surround him with some older guys, some veterans, some proven guys. I look at this Blackhawks lineup. It's not laden with young prospects below Bedard on the lineup. Are they on the way? Is there enough in the lineup for them to have a bright future in the years ahead here?
Well, I think one of the main things, Justin, was to make sure that the guys like Frank Nazer or upcoming players like that aren't just anointed to this roster.
Sure, yeah, he's lighting it up in the American League, right?
That's right. Yeah. And Connor's special, and it's a specialty. And he comes in, he's not making the team. I mean, he was making the team come hell or high water that he was on that team. Mm-hmm. And so, but they want to make sure that everybody else marinates in the minors. Like, even Alex Vlasic only played 1 year. When did you see this horse? Big number 72. Like, we got Nolan Allen. That was a last pick of the first round. You've got Wyatt Kaiser. That's a really good defenseman. They're all young players. But as far as the forward group is concerned, if you don't fill up the roster with guys that have experience, guys like Tara Vinen or guys like Tyler Bertuzzi would be the youngest of the group, to go along with other players that are on expiring contracts. The guys that you look at is Lucas Reichel. You look at Philip Kurashev. That's the group right there, that's going to be with Connor Bedard, going forward, along with the fellas that I say. And all you have to do is look at the minors. Artie Levshinov, the defenseman, second overall pick, he's down in Chicago. You've got Nazer, like I'm saying, is down in Chicago. So, I think Kyle Davidson is doing a good job of saying we do not want to put these guys ahead. We do not want to anoint them. And that's why we got these older players, is to teach and groom and cultivate something that reminds people of winning and having character being able to go out in the media and speak and represent the franchise well. So, yeah, that would be my best answer on that. Mm-hmm.
So, Panger, if I would have told you at the beginning of the year that up until this point going into December, the MVP of the team wouldn't have been Connor Bedard but Peter Mrazek, you would have looked at me like I had three heads?
I've looked at you like that before. But you know what, Kiffer? Yeah, I think people would be surprised. But last year, Mrazek was the MVP last year for me. He and Vlasic and Connor, but Connor missed 14 games. And, I thought Foligno last year played such a pivotal role. And Jason Dickinson had a career year with 22 goals and checks the other team's best players every single night. But yeah, for people that don't know, like Soderblom's going to play tonight. They average 2 goals for or fewer for both these goaltenders on a nightly basis, except for last night against Columbus. And that was maybe Peter's worst game of the year. Mm-hmm. And I think he's just a little out of gas, but the goaltending has been fine. In fact, I would say the goaltending has been spectacular at this particular point. Just got to score more goals. The power play is now is red hot, but it was a little quiet. They were only generating one power play per game for 5 straight games. It's wow. A all-time Hawks record for fewest power play opportunities as an average in a 5-game span.
Panger, we're going to let you go.
Thanks, buddy.
Have a great night tonight. Say hello to our good friend Rick Ball for us.
I will.
How's
say
he doing?
Hello to Rick Ball.
Yeah.
I made him go to practice today.
Good.
Rick is fantastic. It's a great acquisition for us and for me personally. He's so experienced, such a nice guy. We go for dinners. He loves his red wine. He loves his steak. He eats too much steak. I got to get him off that a little bit. But no, he's been fantastic. So thanks for sending another great Sportsnet talent over here to the United States of America with me.
Have a great call, pal. All the best.
Thanks.
That is
Darren Pang, analyst with the Chicago Blackhawks and TNT.
Rick Ball has been in Calgary for however many years. You're going to eat some red meat.
That's
true.
Yes.
A prerequisite.
Rick Ball, one of my faves, calls a hell of a game.
Grew up in Kelowna when he was just starting out.
Oh, really?
Yep.
That's on the ball. I'm Rick Ball.
Really?
That was his little segment.
I'm sure he loves
that.
Got a read for us?
I got a read. Are you guys ready?
Yes,
here we go.
As ready as we can be.
Okay. All right. You got to rate this one out of 10 by the time I'm done. Who wants to win a bunch of cash while doing the best thing this holiday season?
JB and I.
Yep.
It's Sportsnet 590 The Fan's 50-50 fortune supporting food for kids. Here's what you need to know. We've created a 50-50 lottery where the more money we raise, the more kids we can feed in the GTA, and the more money you can win. The current take-home prize is over $363,000, boys.
Ooh, boy.
Someone is going to win that jackpot on Thursday, December 19th. And if you get your tickets early, there are more amazing early bird prizes, including 2 sports packages. One is a pair of tickets to an upcoming Leaf game and a signed William Nylander jersey. And the second is a pair of tickets to a Jays game and a signed George Springer jersey. Get your tickets by Friday, December 6th at 9 a.m. for the chance to win. For more details and to buy your tickets, go to foodforkids5050.ca or text the word cash to 590-590 and we'll send the link right to your phone. It's a 50-50 fortune supporting Food for Kids. Standard message and data rates apply. Ontario only.
Nice job, Sammy.
Good job, Samuel.
Oh, boy. Hold on for your life. Yeah.
Terrific job. We got a few minutes left. Yeah. What did you get out of listening to Darren Pang talk about Connor Bedard?
I think, you know, how impressed he is with him as like a pro and being groomed to be this next one, which is certainly part of it. I take it you took something different.
It kind of caught me a little bit off guard when he referred to him as slow. He needs to be faster, I think, is what Panger said, which means to me, he's saying he's a little too slow.
Yeah, he referred to working on the give and go game, which also implies that I don't know if you love the people you're playing with. You feel like you can't get it back if you give it up, you know, and that's part of speed too.
I see it differently, but I'm not saying that you're wrong on this. You're probably right, but I also get from that is, hey, buddy, what you did in junior and what you worked at the World Juniors where you just got to dance around everybody ain't working.
No.
This is the best league in the world, and you don't have the time and space that you had in junior. So better learn the give and go because the other stuff ain't working.
You know, I watched some highlights of him today, you know, knowing we'd be watching him tonight, and he is one of those guys that, you know, like Mitch Marner, who is so confident when he has the puck, just like he just has it, right? Like he'll have it for longer periods of time than someone else. But in Bedard's case, it's not getting anywhere. He has it out on the paint, out on the yellow. And, you know, we talked about Berube talking about Robertson getting to the inside. So you got to find your way in. Well, like teams now, they'll let you have it out there. Go ahead. You can play with it.
The most recent game they lost against Columbus.
Yeah.
I watched him go down on a 2-on-1 where his feet stopped moving just a little over the red line and was looking past the whole time, and he did pass it. Mm-hmm. But your shot is world class here. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody wants to see Ohtani get called on a third strike pitch.
No one wants to see him hit a single.
No bunts for Ohtani.
But the last thing you can't do is not shoot the puck, Connor, when you are in your prime area.
Mm-hmm.
And that just speaks to the lack of confidence that he has, that he wouldn't recognize that as my wheelhouse. This is what I'm supposed to do, shoot the puck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, we saw Nick Robertson do that the other day on a 2-on-1 where it's like, dude, that's the thing you do. Shoot it from that spot. It's a
hat trick incoming for Bedard tonight. A lot of former Leafs in this team.
So we should clarify the Blackhawks on a back-to-back.
Yeah.
And missing a
Seth
body.
Seth Jones.
Like, they're...
I think he's still hurt.
It should be a night where the Leafs can handle themselves. Go ahead on the Leafs thing, though. That's interesting. Who they got?
Bertuzzi.
Yeah.
Foligno.
Mm-hmm.
TJ Brody.
Yeah.
Ilya Mikheyev.
Wow.
And obviously Peter Mrazek, but he's not playing tonight.
Mrazek a 908 this year for
them. I think Bertuzzi and Bedard are playing together tonight with Taylor Hall, which go big or go home. I mean, that's your meat and potatoes right there.
Hall had a hat trick the other night. I've never been a huge Hall guy, but hat trick the other night, maybe they're all getting hot at the right time.
Bertuzzi.
I say is that Bedard was dash four
Bertuzzi,
last game.
Bertuzzi will score tonight.
Yeah,
they can't all score.
No, Bertuzzi.
Can't have a hat trick for him. And
Bertuzzi
one for
will score.
Sammy,
Brody,
are you calling
one
for a Blackhawk win tonight?
Little shake. Just shake up the bird cage a little bit.
Knock it off.
Nah, they should
win tonight.
Easily.
All right. Once again, our thanks to Darren Pang for joining us on our Leaf Hour. Don't go away. We go national next. Don Waddell, president of hockey operations for the Columbus Blue Jackets, will join us. He just completed a pretty big trade. We'll tell you all about it when we return.